I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, Flame Canada.
I don't like beer.
The right way to go to high school.
Extra virgin coffee.
AIAIO.
Lady mixtapes for ladies.
I neither left with Pepsi, but took with pizza.
Netless and nutless.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich? Exterminate, exterminate.
Concertville.
Ready for the white man's overbite.
You say playlist, I say mixtape.
The Hamburglar has moved on to pizza.
Butt spooning.
The Furs are still psychedelic.
App Slappy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, I'm Steve Canton, producer of the Beanie Lover video, and your host of this important video, How to Spot Counterfeit Beanie Babies.
Pajama time.
This is The Morning Stream. You're a freak and a cannibal, and you've come to the wrong town.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, or here for the first time. I don't want to assume things. It's Monday, May 22nd, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and I am here with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. It feels like a welcome back. Even though we had a show last week, it was mostly no show because of vacation time.
Yeah, just Thursday, really. And that was it.
Yeah.
I guess we had couch party and stuff, but yeah. For proper TMS listeners, you only got one dose of our magic. And
that's right, exactly.
Now you got to just sit here grooving on it all week, you know? You got to take
Scott,
it in.
Scott gets 3 days for vacation. I get the entire month of June.
Yeah. Brian's got a lot. You got a big June, man. Not really.
It's just a lot of weekends, a lot of weekend stuff. Family reunion, a Vegas trip, Elvis Costello and Nick Lowe performing in Vegas. And now I just found out that Squeeze is coming to Denver. So all my favorite bands, right? Like seeing Duran Duran this summer, saw Crowded House earlier this month. Squeeze coming late September to Belco Theater with the Psychedelic Furs.
Oh, what? They still do stuff? That's
apparently
great.
Apparently so, yeah.
Matt All right,
Butler, Mike Butler, what's the lead guy's name? So anyway, that guy's still doing it.
Still rocking it. That's cool. They felt like a very rebellious band to be into when we were younger. And I don't know why.
They did, yeah. No, it was them and Echo and the Bunnymen. It's like, you know, you had your pop new wave, like your Duran Duran certainly fitting into that category and things like that. But then you had your on the outskirts new wave bands that you were cooler if you were into, like the DBs and the Echo and the Bunnymen and the Psychedelic Furs. The Cure was probably closer to mainstream. Like, oh, everybody loves The Cure.
Yeah, nobody doesn't like The Cure. They're great.
Nobody doesn't like The Cure. Oh, yeah, and then seeing Delamitri, Semisonic, and Bare Naked Ladies at Red Rocks, too, this summer. It is a concert. It's Concertville this year for me.
It's white hot action concert summer for Brian.
White hot action concert summer. Yes.
They're all white bands.
With a bunch of white bands.
Yeah, they're all white. Brian's
That's
white.
All right.
Everybody's
I'll be
white.
Sitting there in my seat dancing with my front teeth. Doing the white man overbite dance.
Hell yeah. Oh, look at you already.
Chandler,
look at you.
Doing the Chandler.
You're ready now. You don't need any practice.
I don't need practice.
Holy shit, you're ready. Hey, speaking of bands, quick question for you. I got this tweet that was going around that I answered. This guy says, what were the most listened to bands or artists for you in high school? And it even goes on to say, don't try to be cool and say some hardcore band or whatever. Just tell us the truth. So I replied and said, Information Society, Metallica, Pink Floyd, New Order, and Van Halen. That's pretty pretty much my top five, or those are the five I listen to the most, which doesn't necessarily mean they were my favorite bands. They were just the ones I heard the most. Erasure would probably be sixth place. There's a few others
there.
Oh,
yeah.
If you had to answer that, your five most listened to in high school, what would
they be? In high school, so Squeeze, Sparks, Led Zeppelin. God, what was always going on in my... Because I walked around high school for 3 years with a pair of... with a Walkman with a pair of headphones on, like, constantly. I took it off when I got into class, put it on when I got out of class, walked to my next class.
This is the right way to do it. Everything you're saying is correct. This is the right way to go to high school. Yeah, it's even better now. Think of these kids with their earbuds, man. They can just wirelessly do all this shit. No batteries.
Duran Duran, Squeeze, Sparks, Led Zeppelin, and who would be the fifth? Sure, there was a band that I was like,
because
Crowded House had just come out in the mid to late 80s, that first album, 86, 87. So I can't really give that a, I listened to a lot of Yellow. Would that count as like the band that, too cool?
Yeah. Oh, at the time they were awesome because they had that beer bump thing. And then,
and everybody knew that song, but man, they had some great albums. Like,
I agree.
Some, you know,
yeah. Love those guys. Really, they were awesome. I would put REM in this if the list were longer. I listened to a lot of REM.
Sure.
Yeah. So there you go. That dates us. That tells you what era we were in high school right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But boy, Squeeze and Sparks. Like I had all the albums on. Recorded to cassette, so you could have one side that was a full album, the other side another full album. So in that top shelf of my locker was stacks of tapes. That's what I kept in that top shelf of the locker. It was all stacks of tapes. It was like, all right, what am I listening to today? Oh, let's listen to Seven and the Ragged Tiger. Boom.
Nice.
Or let's listen to RG Bargy. Boom. Let's listen to Pulling Rabbits Out of a Hat. Boom. Oh, Sting. It's the Police. Yeah, the Police and Sting were huge for me.
Yeah, the Police were big for us. Did you so do you still have those tapes, or did you get rid of them all at some point?
I got rid of them all. Mm-hmm. I do still have some cassettes from that period of time for whatever reason. here's fun confession time.
Uh-oh.
Gonna love this.
All right.
So had all these mixtapes that I created, but I also had the mixtapes you put on when you had a lady over, like the mixtape of the music, right?
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, I still have all those.
Oh.
I don't know why, because it's not, I mean, I do have cassette players to play them on, but it's so A, I can create a playlist. B, there's rarely any music going on. It's too much work to say, hold on, honey, let me put on a playlist.
Yeah, we've been married too long. It doesn't work that way.
We've been married too long. Yeah, exactly.
So,
just yelling at the cats to get off the bed is the playlist.
Give me a title though. Give me a song. Give me a band. Give me an album.
Oh, sure. All right. Scritti Politti. Another.
Scritti Politti.
Scritti Politti. Another band I listened to like crazy in.
Oh my gosh.
In high school, their song "A Little Knowledge" was on there. "If You Leave" by OMD.
Oh yeah, I love that. I loved OMD. Oh man,
"Every Time You Go Away" by Paul Young, cover of the song by Daryl Hall and John Oates. Thank you very much.
Every time you go,
that's the one.
How about Red Red Wine? The cover, the cover version by UB40.
UB40.
Yeah.
That's a
fun little sexy song.
Yeah, it's a little too because there's nothing like doing all of a sudden red red wine. You make me feel so fine. You keep me rocking all of the time.
That's like having Shaggy in the middle of your romantic song.
It really is, exactly. Yes.
Oh Lord. All right. Well, there's a look into our teenage music lives, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. All right, we did a morning forum last week, and it's time to award the winner. And start a new one.
Stand back and check your personal belongings.
Yeah.
It's time for the morning forum.
All right, check this out. Last week we did best TV spinoffs, and that was a fun one because I had just finished Better Call Saul and was feeling very strong about its placement in that. Yeah. The big winner, though. Well, no, actually it did win. I'm sorry. It looked so close. It was actually closer than I expected it to be. But Better Call Saul with 22.8% of the vote. One for best. Second in line, Frasier with 17.4%. Surprised me a little bit. I don't know. It's a great, it's a really great spinoff, but you know,
it's a great spinoff. And the sign of a great spinoff is how well it stands on its own. And you can enjoy and love both of those shows without having to watch any Breaking Bad or any Cheers.
Right.
Those things stand so well on their own.
Yep. Somebody put just the 10 of us, which was a spinoff of Growing Pains. Do you remember that? That was a thing.
No, I don't remember that. Really?
Yeah. That was a spinoff. It was bad. I think they're playing with us there a little bit. But The Simpsons,
like, just the 10 of us feels like somebody saying, oh, you know, I really like Too Many Cooks. That show was great. I love Too Many Cooks.
Too Many Cooks. The Simpsons took third with 16.8%. And that one's a kind of a hard one because, yes, it's a spinoff.
It's tough to call it a spinoff because it's, you know, they were the shorts on the Tracy Ullman show, but not really like a... They had nothing else to do with the Tracy Ullman show. It wasn't like... it's like saying... And people argue this, and I probably be one of them, that Office Space is one of those movies that came out of skits on Saturday Night Live, like Stuart Smalley and because those Milton animated cartoons, the Judge Milton cartoons started out on SNL.
I guess you could argue they spun the systems or the Simpsons out of the Tracy Ullman show. You could say that.
Sure.
But that's not quite the same, is it? So it's a little weird. That one's fishy.
It's weird. It almost needs its own separate category. Yeah.
After that, we got Mork and Mindy with 4.4%. This is now way down the list. And things like Angel, Daria, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, this sort of stuff, Boston Legal. And then a bunch of dumb stuff that people put in, like DTNS from TNT.
hey, when you think about, all right, so. Happy Days took place, and Happy Days itself being a spinoff from Love American Style, but Happy Days taking place in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
The Cunninghams and all that stuff. Mork and Mindy squarely taking place in the 80s, even though it spun off from the 50s, from the Happy Days.
Right.
Which means Mork didn't age, right? The Robin Williams character didn't age the 30 years between the two. And that means when he came back to Earth and lived in Boulder with Pam Dauber, the Cunninghams were all 30 years older than they were, you know, like Richie was like a, you know, pushing 50. Richie Cunningham pushing 50.
Yeah. The way they did that was weird. Like, at least Better Call Saul, even though everyone's older, the actors are older, they're setting it in the time zone, right? They're putting it in the right time zone.
Right, exactly.
But back in the day, they didn't care. It was like, whatever.
And yeah, exactly.
Here we are. We're in the 70s.
Joni and Chachi are old and married.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Joni Loves Chachi. Remember that spinoff? I forgot about that.
I do remember that one, yeah.
What a piece of shit.
Ryan Lefebvre says, is Curb Your Enthusiasm a spinoff of Seinfeld? Serious question. No.
Cause, no, not at all.
Yeah, because Larry David wasn't a character, or wasn't, you know, Larry wasn't a character on Seinfeld. He was co-writer, and he was the voice of
Steinbrenner.
Yeah,
and a few others. But he was just, he was creator, co-creator, and did some voice stuff, but mostly wrote and directed, or helped direct. So that whole thing with him going off, I mean, yes, you see the blueprints of his humor from Seinfeld, but I don't think you can count that as a spinoff.
But there's no crossover characters, right? There's no...
No. Even the Seinfeld reunion thing is just the actors coming together to make a Seinfeld reunion. It's not...
Right, exactly.
It's not George. It's freaking Jason Alexander.
There you go. That's exactly how you differentiate the two.
Right.
You know, Jerry Seinfeld appeared in Curb Your Enthusiasm as Jerry Seinfeld, not the Jerry Seinfeld from Seinfeld.
Yeah, which is nothing like real Jerry Seinfeld. So then he got in a car and drank coffee with comedians. So there you go.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, here's our winner. Our big winner this week is Miss Penji.
Intellectual.
Oh, damn it.
Congratulations.
I got the wrong one again.
You're a winner.
It is Miss Penji. And Miss Penji, if you hear this, send me a message. Otherwise, I'll send you one. Whoever gets to each other first, and you will get your Frog Pants Fun Pack in the mail. Congratulations on the big win. Today, who made the best Batman? This will be this week's contest. And we have such choices as, if I had this open, that'd be easier. Here we go. Tim Burton, Christopher Nolan, Matt Reeves, Joel Schumacher, Zack Snyder, Leslie H. Martinson. Yeah, that's right. The 66 movie. Okay.
The 66. Great. Bat repellent. Bat shark repellent.
Exactly. Chris McKay, who made What did he make? Well, he made one of them. You'll have to go look it up yourselves, everybody.
He didn't do The Batman, right? That was somebody. Who did that one?
That was Matt Reeves. So he's
Matt Reeves. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and he's on here. So if you go and vote here at what is the damn website? It's frogpants.com/themorningform, all right? frogpants.com/themorningform. And vote. The vote doesn't matter so much as it's just fun to see the data. But what really matters is you'll be entered to win a Frog Pants fun pack of your own. And we'll award it next Monday. All right.
And if you and if you click Joel Schumacher, you might as well just stop listening to this and go listen to Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Why even here? What are you even doing?
Why are you here? Why are you here?
Yeah, exactly. I'm tempted. I mean, Brian, if you had to vote. Where do you land here?
Because Chris Nolan, quite very squarely Chris Nolan. The Dark Knight trilogy, even with its flaws and with with that voice that I just can't get past Bill's voice.
Yeah. Hey, you guys! Oh, I freaking hate it so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's maybe, it might be the only thing that I don't like in the Guardians of the Galaxy series is them giving Karen Gillan the direction to sound like a mix between Clint Eastwood and Marilyn Monroe for Nebula.
Yeah, I don't know why they felt the need to do that. That was weird. No. She's so great otherwise, though.
Great otherwise. Yeah, exactly.
I don't blame her. Someone told her to talk like that. But anyway,
Chris Nolan would be easy choice for me.
I think I'm in agreement. I don't know why you would vote. I mean, I really like Matt Reeves as a director. I really liked The Batman, and I thought his Planet of the Apes are incredible. Like, all that stuff's true, but I don't know how you not pick Christopher Nolan. I just don't know how you do it. Yeah. But other people, whatever. Some Tim Burton lovers out there, you do what you do. Sure. Go vote.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a very cool, quirky style, that first Batman movie. And if there wasn't that first Batman movie that kind of said, all right, maybe superhero movies can work, would we have all of the superhero movies we've had since then?
Yeah, I agree. It set the tone and the template, even though it's a little weird. I think you're right. Anyway, thank you for voting, and I hope some of you win. Well, one of you will. frogpants.com/themorningform. Brian, you had something happen to you. You told me to remember to remind you about, so I'm reminding you. What was it?
I'm glad you did, because I did show up to the show today and forget. So I'm glad you had this in there. So Thursday night they had a meetup event for the MS-150 for people who are in the top donor group of the MS-150. And thanks to all of you guys listening who contribute to my MS-150 ride. I end up in these top donor things. This, I think, was the first year I ended up in the top 150 donors for the MS-150. So let's keep it up, by the way. tiny.cc/bikecoverville2023.
Nice.
$5-$10, whatever you can afford. But we found out, and I'll just throw this out there, found out that the 30 people that we had in that room comprised 80% of the money raised from the Colorado chapter of MS, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Huge number. And the leader of our team, I found out for the first time that he has been involved in a lot of MS tests, like cure testing. And he's, when they show these things, these reaction graphs of like how people are reacting to the treatments, he's one of those dots, one of those few dots on the scale that they base the median line around. It's really cool.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
Anyway, so it's being held in this place called the Left. It was held in this place called the Left Hand Brewery. Really cool microbrewery. They have a few locations here in Denver, Left Hand Brewery. Great stuff. And
I assume the owner's left-handed or something. Is that the deal?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Their logo is big red left hand.
That's cool.
We get in there and they're talking, and a server comes over and says, "Hey, can I get you anything?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'll do a pretzel assassin nitro stout." And Tina's like, "Oh, I'll just have a Pepsi." And she says, "All right, can I take your card?" I'm like, I give her my card. She runs it through and charges for it, and then brings us our drinks. Then she comes back a little bit later and says, "Hey, can I get you a food order?" I'm like, "Oh, let's do, we'll get a flatbread pizza." They have like this really cool pepper, really spicy jalapeno and serrano with goat cheese and blah, blah, blah.
That sounds so good right now.
Oh, it's like the best. So good.
Oh my gosh, I want it right now. Okay. Anyway.
So, Tina hates beer, vinyl revivalist. That's why she had a Pepsi. So while we're sitting there talking, there's this guy standing in front of us, this older guy, and he is one of the top money raisers of the group, but he might be a little bit socially unaware. So he's looking for the server himself. And so Tina and I are standing right, you know, together, and then he's a couple feet in front of us facing away from us. But then every time he turns around, he's looking for the server. Every time he turns around, his face ends up like a foot away from my face, and he kind of looks at me, and then he's looking at the server and stuff, and it's like, you know, maybe kind of back up and look around, but it's like he turns around, it's like instantly in my face.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
So little, you know, some social cues awareness, some personal space breakage, whatever, but you know, whatever. I mean, this guy raises so much money, I can't really complain. So he finally gets the server's attention. She comes over. Apparently he doesn't drink, so he ordered a Pepsi also.
Yeah.
And so she comes over with our drinks, and she gives him his Pepsi. He sets it down on a table by him, and we set ours on another table a little bit further away.
Yeah.
Our pizza comes in. By this point, everybody's done talking, and everybody's kind of gone into these little clusters of groups to chat, and we're chatting with somebody. Our pizza arrives, and they set it right on the table that we're sitting next to. And she takes my card again, charges me for the pizza, etc. So the guy comes around again, this socially unaware guy, and he comes up to Tina and says, "Is that my Pepsi?" And she's like, no, I think yours is over there on that table. He's like, "Oh, thanks." And then he like looks at her pizza and just helps himself to a slice. And then referring to the Pepsi says, "Good, I'm glad I asked you and didn't just help myself to your Pepsi." And then walks over and gets his Pepsi.
Wait a minute. What? Really?
It's funny that, like, in the same breath that he's just helping himself to our pizza, he's patting himself on the back for asking before he just took Tina's Pepsi.
I don't know how I feel about this. This clearly, is really weird.
Clearly
to me.
Thought that it was all paid for by the event folks and didn't even ask. Oh, like, didn't even say, okay, did you guys buy this, or was this provided by the thing? He just looked at our pizza, grabbed a slice, walked away, and got his Pepsi.
Weird. I get it now. If he thought it was like everybody was just getting fed by the place or something, right?
Yeah, because apparently the server just brought him a Pepsi, didn't even charge him for it, right? So I'm thinking that that's why he thought that. But
I would be so annoyed.
Just the fact that he said, "Well, good thing I asked before I just took it."
Wow. Is this my Pepsi? She's probably lucky he didn't try to get a big slurp off of her Pepsi or something.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Wow.
Would have easily seen him try to do it.
I'm actually glad you remember to tell that story, or that we wrote it down, because that's great. Yes. What a weird dude. Yeah. That's very weird.
Weird dude.
Yeah. Don't love it. Yeah. Okay, one last story. Oh, go ahead.
And just really quickly, I spent a lot of time talking to the organizer, this woman named Erica, who's really cool, and said, "Look, here's the deal. I'm doing training rides as much as I can, but the back pain, leg pain," and I explained what I've been going through in physical therapy and stuff. And she's like, "Don't worry. You know, if you don't, you're raising money, you're contributing. If you can ride, great. But if you can't, number one, we need volunteers. Number two, we've got short rides that you can do." And so she's super cool. So I might be doing instead of the 75-mile ride, I might be doing a shorter 40-mile ride.
Oh, okay.
Which is still, hey, believe that's me, 40-mile ride is still nothing to sneeze at.
I was going to say, that's no chicken feathers. Or what's the phrase?
Chicken. That's not chicken feed. That's not chopped liver.
That's not chopped liver. I couldn't think of a good one. It's not chicken feathers. What the hell's wrong with me?
That's not small potatoes.
There you go. Yeah, 40 is still, that's still way more than I'm prepared to ride. So, hell yeah.
I've got about a month to get up to the stamina level where I can do it, but my goal is to do it because I still want to ride. I still have such a good time riding in this thing, and it just would be nice if we had some air Outside that I could breathe.
Yeah.
As I rode my bike.
Tell me about it. What's up, Canada? Both Colorado, us, and whoever's above us, I guess Wyoming whoever else, we're all getting hosed by your freaking, we have to groove on your freaking bad smoke. What's going
on? Right. Stop. That's right. We know it's caused by the Calgary flames, right?
Yeah. That's my understanding.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's gross and I don't like it. We did have a lot of wind today, which means a bunch of it went out of the valley, so that's good, but it'll probably still settle in later and I hate it. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot, yeah. Canada. Thanks. Blame Canada. All right. Time for this. Yes, that's right. Brian Dunaway joining us for a game. He does this every Monday and Wednesday. We love having him here. Brian Dunaway, welcome back.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How's it going this morning?
Oh, it's going good. Great, how man. How are you there? Yeah, yeah.
I was enjoying Ibid's story. I don't always get to, I usually tune in a couple of minutes before you guys call me, and so I enjoyed hearing your little story.
Yeah, it's always fun. Good. It's always fun hearing a little story from Brian, don't you think?
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, we're here to enjoy you and your company as we play again.
Take a big old gulp of me. Yeah. Also, by the way, I just want to defend this social awkward person. Pizza is public food. Pepsi is not, so it's fine. It's fine.
Pizza is public food? Is that the deal?
Pizza is public food. Okay. You don't get a pizza and go, that's my pie. Yeah. Don't touch it. Pizza is public food. It's meant to be shared, you big bunch of weirdos.
Well, all right.
But our pizza was super, super spicy, too. Like, there was a Chipotle sauce on
then
top
you should have
of it, like
all these other peppers. For not letting know ahead
no,
of time.
No, I figure this is like, let's see how well he doesn't drink. Let's see how well he reacts.
Yeah, you were all wanting a little revenge. I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm just glad he didn't like take a bite and say, "Oh, this is terrible," and then just like plop it back onto the tray.
Yeah, that would have been funny. Oh, this is bad.
Don't never insult my food. I always hate people who do that. By the way,
yeah, you're not a fan.
Don't ever insult my food. If you want to complain about your food, bitch away. Don't bitch about my food.
That's
okay,
right,
McRib.
Yeah, Mr. McRib.
That's right. Don't complain about my food. That's not your business.
Your food is gross. All right, let's move on to the game. Hey, Brian, will you explain these rules? Because I feel like we forget them every week. So what's going on?
This game is so complicated. I understand your confusion. Welcome to the morning, Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct. Three of those answers are like that pie, full of peppers and taken without asking. Depending on how confident you guys feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right gets you a point. Get two rights gets you 3 points. And get all three correct, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And I've pulled a couple contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. One of them, oh my gosh, Scott, you're playing for Rogue Tess, a.k.a. Whoa. Teresa from Orange County, California.
Oh, awesome. Yes. I love her to death.
We love her.
Yeah, she's the best.
Got to see her in Vegas very briefly this last trip.
Yeah.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Fro. You're going to be playing Frozen Falcon in Portugal.
Oh, nice.
Portugal. Holy shite.
Portugal. Wow. Yes.
Good thing these codes are non-region locked. That's a good thing.
I sure hope so. Yeah. Winner is going to get a copy of Still Life and Still Life 2 on Steam, but the runner-up is going to get The Life and Suffering of Sir Bronte.
I do not know that last one. I have no
idea. I don't either, but they sound great. Both of those from The Dread, from Wesley.
Nice. Thank you, Wesley.
Wesley.
Yes. All right. You guys are both ready.
Yeah.
Don't put your hands on your buzzers because there aren't buzzers in this game. Your first question. First question is a former official Olympic sport. So which of these six at one time were actually official Olympic events? Your choices are korfball, squash, water motorsports, bowling, croquet, and tug of war.
Korfball. That sounds like some Star Trek bullshit.
I know, right? Yeah. It is definitely bait, but it might be real.
It might be real. That's how baity it is.
Oh, I hate you so much.
Water motorsports.
I know, right? I kind of want water motorsports to be a thing.
I'm going to go for it and do three.
Oh, you're doing three?
Yeah. I'm going for it. I'm going to see if my instincts are correct.
Well, I'm
going
to do three too then. Boom.
Okay. All right.
Wow. You guys both locked in on korfball.
Yep.
You both locked in on croquet, and you both locked in on tug of war.
Really?
Wow.
Tug of war was in the Olympics from 1900 to 1920, so 20 years.
That seems like such an early 1900s shit to do, right?
It really does.
To do it. Tug of war.
Yeah. So was croquet, by the way. Croquet also in the 1900s was an official Olympic sport. No, korfball, no, not an Olympic event. It's kind of like basketball.
So that's a real sport?
It's a real sport, just not an Olympic sport.
Yeah, you basically throw a ball into a netless basket that is mounted on a
netless
11
basket,
and a half feet.
What was that?
Netless.
Netless.
There's no nuts on this basket either. 11 and a half foot high pole. It's basically basketball without a court. And
This is wild. I've never heard or seen anything about this before. Wow.
I haven't either. But I still can't stop thinking about early 1900s black and white photos of guys in shorts and handlebar mustaches right. doing tug of war.
Yes.
Yeah, I could picture that all in their little
Water motorsports, by the way, was the other one. Korfball was demonstrated 1920, 1928, but never added as an official sport.
And all right, bowling, we're going to show you some korfball. Everybody sit down. Korfball. What you doing?
Bowling was demonstrated in 1988, and the Olympic Committee said, no, that's all right. Thanks.
I feel like korfball would make my neck hurt. You'd have to crane all the time.
You can't have curling. Yeah. You can't have curling and not have bowling. I don't see how you can make that argument.
Yeah,
right.
If you're going to curl, you're going to bowl. I agree.
Oh, they need to combine and have people running down the lane with brooms going, and then that pins at the end as opposed to just a ring that they have to get it into. I like that. Right.
Sign me up.
All right. God, you guys both did, horrible. You almost did really well on that one with the other two, with croquet and tug of war.
Yeah.
Let's see how well you do on this one.
Excellent.
We like our Tolkien, right? We like our,
yeah, I like
our
the Tolkien.
Our Hobbit.
Sure.
Well, which of these are chapters in the book The Hobbit? Your choices are roast mutton, Smaug, barrels out of bond, a pinch of pipeweed, the window on the west, and fire and water.
Oh,
all
Lord.
Three of those are actual chapters in The Hobbit. Three of them are not.
I'm going all three. I'm locking in.
I'm locking in with two because I'm limping from the last one.
Chicken.
All right.
Like a bunch of chicken feathers.
Between the two of you and five answers, five choices, only Brian chose one correctly. One correct, which was barrels out of bond. Roast mutton, fire and water, and barrels out of bond were actual chapters in The Hobbit.
I knew the Smaug one. I knew that was probably
I felt like it was bait, but it felt like
herring.
I was sure. A pinch of pipeweed was right. I don't know why.
That had to be. Yeah. I mean, how do you not have that?
Yeah. But what did they ever call it pipeweed, though?
Pipeweed.
I don't remember what they called it. It's been too long.
And fire and water just didn't. It felt like you were trying to punk me with some, you know.
It felt like the most boring chapter title.
Or, you know, it's like
fire and water.
Fire and ice.
It's just fire and ice in the summer. Things are warming up. Yep.
All right. That's all right. So strategy wise, 0 points going into the third round, which means that you guys have, you could do one and still win it if you feel really confident.
All right.
Question number three, famous people that were married exactly once. So not zero times, not two times, three times, whatever. Which of these people?
So like the question you just said. Okay.
Just like the question I just said. Famous people. Well, I could go through other numbers. Not four times. Not five times.
Could
not
you
six
explain
times.
It in a different way.
Not 50.
But using
not negative
but using
one
the
times.
Alphabet.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
All right, let's get to your people. Lucille Ball, Charlton Heston, Alfred Hitchcock, Pamela Anderson, Katharine Hepburn, and Tom Hanks. Which of these people were married exactly once?
Well, I know a couple of these are absolutely not true.
Good.
But one of them.
One of these people is only getting married once.
I'm doing two again.
Are you going to do? Okay. Then I will lock in with. This just feels wrong. Okay. I'm going this. Going two as well.
Okay.
I feel like Alfred Hitchcock never got married. That's just.
I think he got married.
If he got married, it was once, right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
You're both locked in. Let's see. We do have a winner. Lucille Ball and Tom Hanks both got married
twice.
Two times.
Oh, yes.
Meaning Catherine Hepburn, Alfred Hitchcock,
good
two corrupt
job.
Emperors. Both of them got married once. Pamela Anderson's been married three times. I did not know three.
I just saw her. I just saw her documentary, and boy, howdy, did she get remarried a lot? There was a lot going on.
Yeah. We're getting married. Let's get married. Let's get married.
But yeah, Chet the off-brand Hanks definitely came from Tom Hanks's first marriage.
Yep.
Not to Rita Wilson.
That is correct.
Not to Rita, on my coattails, Wilson.
That's right. Charlton Heston was almost chosen by me, but I wasn't sure because he seems like he'd be hard to live with.
Very conservative.
Not just that. Just seems hard to live with. You know,
like I figured if he got married, he would never see. You're thinking another way. I'm thinking if he got married, he's like, nope, no divorces.
Married to my rifle.
Yeah, that's right. Lady, you can't leave me or I'll kill you with this gun.
Exactly. So congratulations both to Scott Johnson and to Rogue Tess, who's getting Still Life and Still Life 2, courtesy of Wesley.
Nice.
A game so nice, they made a sequel. And but that's all right, Frozen Falcon in Portugal. You're getting The Life and Suffering of Sir Bronte, which I wish I knew more about.
It's arguably a better game.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Still Life. I've never heard of
this
that either.
This is a narrative, let's see here, a narrative-driven hardcore RPG set in a gritty world ruled by real but unrelenting gods, set out on a challenging lifetime journey where every choice has a price and entails consequences.
Okay.
The artwork on this thing looks really cool.
It does look cool.
The Life and Suffering of Sir Bronte.
Yeah. It's an older, this Still Life 2 thing is older. 2009 looks like. I don't remember this at all. Well, anyway, Rogue Tess, I couldn't feel any better about who I won for. So congratulations and well done.
Yeah.
Brian, what else? Is that all we do for this? That's it. We just give the awards and we hook them up.
This works.
Are we done? Is that it?
What?
I think that I was trying to think. Is there something else we do? I don't think we do. I think that's it. We tell Brian Dunaway here that he was great today and was lovely having him on. Oh, I know what we do.
Congratulations.
Yes, I forgot about this.
You're a winner.
Dunaway and I will be doing a Wednesday. We just did Saturday Play Retro, and we're about to do one right away again on Wednesday. And we're all very excited about it. We'll talk more about it on Wednesday when you're here. But check that show out if you haven't, because we just did one and it was a really good time.
We did Frogger.
We did Frogger right before that. Twisted Metal. We had a real run of a couple of great episodes, I think, and people need to be checking that out. So find Play Retro.
I even sent Scott a bonus episode for patron supporters that he's never
going to really?
Post. No, it's going up today. It's going up today.
Wow, for Play Retro. That's cool.
Yeah we're putting that up today.
Little public shaming there.
Well, we're putting it up today. I just didn't want to put it up same.
I even sent Scott one.
I didn't want to put it up same day because, I don't know.
Oh, I got you. It makes sense.
I'll put it up today. So watch for that. Yeah, that's a good point. You'll have that today. You had that Saturday, and then on Wednesday you'll have something new. All right.
Yeah, so much playing retro stuff.
It sure is. Hey, Dunaway, suck our butts. No, we'll see you later. Okay. Didn't even get him a chance
to
say anything.
That retro must be played.
I like retro games. That's all I played in Vegas when I had game time. Is I pulled out the Steam Deck and played old Nintendo games.
Oh, nice.
Perfectly legally. Perfect.
God, I am loving this new Zelda game. So good.
Well, it turns out its new status as the highest reviewed game of all time is hold water. It holds water.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's
good stuff. All right. Let us, what time is it? We got time for a little news.
Sure.
Let's get a little news in. Hold on a second here. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Here's some news. It's time for today's news, and it's brought to you by...
Did you miss FilmSack Saturday? We had a blast covering the very weird and very uncomfortable 2000 film Hollow Man. Boy, is it. Come listen and see why we still make the best movie podcast on the internet. Verified by 9 out of 10 judges. FilmSack, right. Wherever you get your shows.
That's right. Go check it out. Had a lot of fun with that one, despite its uncomfortableness.
Yes.
It's a little bit weird. Verhoeven movies,
little
man.
Rapey. Little rapey.
Little rapey. Yeah. A little more than I thought it would be. Almost immediately. It's like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's ease into this film a little bit, folks, before, you know, before the dancer from Footloose goes a little crazy. all right. Starbucks has a new olive oil coffee. Have you tried it by chance?
Sure, I have not, but I've had butter, like coffee with butter and coconut oil in it. The... Cannonball coffee or whatever it's called.
Yeah, what do they call that? Kim has that sometimes. It's called but not butterball. Is it cannonball?
Bullet
Coffee. I think it's bullet.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing to call it because it's just butter and oil, but whatever.
Poops shoot out of you like bullets when you once you process that coffee.
Oh, well, good news. That's what's happening over at Starbucks.
Oh, good.
Yeah, their new olive oil coffee is allegedly making people poop a whole lot.
Sure is. Look at that. Yeah. Oh, funny.
Lots of us depend on the coffee in the morning as a pick-me-up, but some folks on social media are reporting that Starbucks' new product line is waking up their bodies a little too much. In February, Starbucks launched a range of drinks in Italy called Olito, which I think is how you'd say it.
Oliato.
Which combines coffee with olive oil. The Oliato line includes three flavors. They've got golden foam cold brew. They got the cafe latte. And they got the iced shaken espresso. All of the beverages arrive in the U.S. on March 23rd in Chicago, Seattle, and New York. Each beverage is doused with Partana extra virgin olive oil. All right. As they describe it, this gives your drink a sweet and lush flavor and makes it velvety smooth. Maybe a little too smooth. It says after the drink was launched, some people tried to look at social media to describe the unintended side effect, prompt races to the toilet. Some Reddit users reporting bowel problems, stomach aches, diarrhea, and in some cases, vomiting.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's no good. Nobody wants to vomit. Where is my diarrhea clip?
Diarrhea.
There it is. The fat content is what it is. And there's a lot of fat content in oil of a lot of types, but sure, olive oil's got a fat. It's a good, healthy fat. But if you drink a bunch of it, you're going to have a moment. Well,
and it's, literally as fats like olive oil can stimulate motility in the colon and, quote, help smooth the insides of the bowel, making it easier for stools to pass through.
That's right.
Explains them. They use the same thing at IKEA on that conveyor belt at the end there. It makes the stools a lot easier to pass through.
Yeah, they just coat everything in that olive oil. It's a good idea.
Exactly.
It's lubrication for your life, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's a thing.
There you go.
Here's another one.
Still try it.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Why not?
Why not? I would do it on the day that I'm staying home, that I'm not lifting, because that would be bad.
Yeah, make a plan. Yeah, don't go, oh, I'm between rides. I'm going to go over to this coffee real quick, get it, and then pick up another guy. Don't do that.
Let's pound down an olive oil coffee and gosh.
Here's another story about drivers. It's funny enough, you just brought up driving. A driver was stopped after 50 years with no license. Finally, they got him.
We got him.
Yep. Finally. Officers in Derbyshire. I don't know what you do
over
there.
It's actually, believe it or not, pronounced Derbyshire.
Derbyshire.
Even though it looks like it should be Derbyshire. It's Derbyshire.
Well, I don't feel bad about Tooele and Hurricane anymore.
No, I should not.
Let's see. They said, officers there said a 69-year-old had managed to fool insurance companies to cover his car. But they added the flaw in his dastardly plan was bragging. They caught up with this dude after 50 years of the ruse. And he's busted now. It says police tweeted on Saturday, the driver of this vehicle has never passed a test despite being 69 years old and having been driving for 50 years. He has systematically provided details to insurance companies indicating that he has a license, but the flaws in his dastardly plan was bragging. His long reign came to an abrupt end once we found out. Vehicle seized and driver reported for numerous offenses. Now, I would like to say this about these police. They're sounding awful cocky for a group that could not catch this dude for 50 effing years.
Right, right, exactly.
I mean, give me a break.
As long as he doesn't break the law, there's no way they would have caught him. It's not like they have a list of people who don't have driver's licenses.
Yeah, it's weird to me that they're being so like, if he hadn't bragged, that's his downfall.
We finally got him.
It only took us 50 years.
Yeah.
Whatever, Derbyshire, quiet little place, I'm sure. They don't get a lot of news.
An Uncle Reg, or a granduncle Reg, who lived there. My grandmother's brother, Reggie, lived in Derby.
Great British name, Reg.
Yes, Reg, yes.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, pretty sure it had to be short for Reginald, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But we always called him Reg. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Reg.
Do you have anybody who still has the accent that you communicate with, you know, like any family?
Not really. My dad is it for that side of the family that as far as I communicate regularly, and his goes in and out. It really depends on
kind of watered down. Yeah.
Yeah, but he still talks with I'd probably say like a 30% British accent, because, you know, I like my percentages.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more than that. We'll have to get him on the show at some point, or get some audio of him on the show at some point.
I'd love that. Yeah, I'd love to hear it. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I wish Kim still had her Southern accent. I miss it. Mm-hmm. Only comes out when she's mad. I don't like making her mad. So
yeah, that's not. Yeah, exactly. That's hardly the way you want to get to hear that.
I wish
accent.
It came out when I brought home flowers or something.
It's right. Like, exactly.
Oh, honey, happy no reason. Here's just this because I love you. Well, that's just the kindest damn thing anybody ever could do. You know.
She'd be more surprised that you left the house without her to go get her flowers.
Yeah. Hey, it happens.
Could you drive me to the florist so I can buy you some flowers?
She doesn't have to drive me anywhere. She just doesn't. If we have to go somewhere together, she doesn't. She just doesn't want me to drive.
Doesn't want you to drive. Yeah, because you'll doze off.
She's fine with me driving if I'm on my. If I'm alone, goodbye, out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. But if she has to sit there while I drive, I don't even know why. I'm not that bad a driver. I'm fine.
Yeah,
she can't do it. So if she's if the car has both of us in it, she will drive. That's just the deal. but I'm going to lunch on Thursday with I forgot his first name. Anyway, listener came to Vegas, forgot his first name.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, dude. I forget names. But we're going to go to lunch.
So he can remind you of his name.
Yeah. I'll say, "Hey, what's your name again?"
Nice.
I know his name on Discord, but I cannot think of his real name. Anyway, let's move on to this one. Wendy's. Next time you're at a Wendy's, maybe they'll have this in yours by now. I don't know, but they're testing out an AI chatbot that takes your drive-through order. So not a person, but an AI chatbot.
AI will be taking my order. Great.
Yep.
So don't order chicken fingers, or you'll get 35 of them.
Yeah, you'll get 35 chicken fingers that don't actually look like fingers anymore. It's a nightmare.
Exactly. Oh, 6 chicken fingers. Got it. 42 chicken fingers.
Yeah.
Next.
Yep. Or they'll say, what happened? Something happened weird the other day. What was it? I said to it. Oh. I tried this out because somebody else did it. If you say to ChatGPT, so the text chatbot, if you say to it, what does it say? Like, what day is it today? Mm-hmm. It'll come back and go, why, today is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. And then you say, I thought you only had knowledge up through 2021, which is what it always says.
Oh, really?
And it came back to me and said, oh, you are correct. I don't know what day it is.
No way, really? So it backtracks on...
Yeah. How effed up is that?
That's really effed up.
I don't like it. I don't like it. It made me feel weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're testing this thing. They're working with Google on it. They want to be able to take orders this way. It's according to the Wall Street Journal. The fast food chain has plans to bring its Wendy's Fresh AI, is what they're calling it, enabled drive-through to Columbus, Ohio to start. That'll be in June. Chatbot will be able to...
It's just abuse of the word fresh. There's nothing fresh about the ordering process. Fresh AI. Ooh.
Yeah, there's barely anything fresh about the food they're giving me.
Yeah, exactly.
It says it will be able to take verbal orders from customers who line up at Wendy's drive-thru kiosk, all with the hope that it will reduce long wait times. Wendy's working with Google to build a tailored chatbot on top of the company's existing large language model, which is bound to reveal updates. And this is before Google I.O., and we did get a bunch of updates. In fact... Brian, would you like to hear a montage of the updates we got at the Google I.O. conference? Because
you have a montage? Oh, excellent. Yes.
I do. It's right here. Here, enjoy.
Oh, I'm not hearing it.
Do you not hear that? Shit.
I don't hear it. No, sorry.
I know why you don't. You'll now hear it. Hold on. Sorry. My bad. I did this.
Sorry, folks, if I'm making you hear it a second time.
No, they don't hear it either. That's good that you said something.
Oh, good. Okay.
No one could hear but me. All right, here we go.
AI, generative AI, generative AI, generative AI, AI as AI, 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 AI. It uses AI to bring AI, 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 AI.
There you go.
It uses whatever the sentence was, it uses AI to bring AI. I think that felt like a real sentence.
Yeah, it didn't feel edited there, did it? Isn't that great though? What's his name?
AI, AI.
What's his name? Not Pachai. That is Pachai. Who's Sunday Pachai, is that his name? Anyway, the Google CEO talked a lot about AI the other day.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's the new big thing. It's the new hot thing.
The gold rush is on. They're all fighting to get who's first. Yes. It's crazy. Anyway, I will use one of these, and I look forward to doing so at some point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yes. I want to go through a drive-through and I want to order through an AI and I want to see how it does.
Watch it freak out, though, if you ask if the milkshake machine is working.
Oh, I know, right? Is your milkshake machine working?
We don't. We sell Frosties, not milkshakes.
Does not compute.
Exterminate.
When this happens, we'll get some content for the show when they get around to it. But
oh, for sure.
Maybe it'll work great. I don't know.
Too early for a fish sandwich. No, you cannot order fish sandwich.
If these things work well, this is actually the stuff I'm excited about because it will make things easier. Now, will it cause a bunch of 16-year-olds to lose their minimum wage jobs? I don't know. I don't want that. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. But from a convenience standpoint, if they work. And they work well and reliably and have language, you know, like that's the whole point of a large language AI model is that they can understand just about anything you throw at it, no matter what language you throw at it, no matter how weird your accent is or how, you know, that's supposed to be the point.
Right.
So I'm excited to see if they can pull it off. We'll see. I'll get emails about this and someone's going to be mad. It's fine. Here's one
maybe
final.
Force these 16-year-olds to learn engineering and work on the other side of the AI equation.
That's right. Maybe that'll be what happens. It'll improve their lives, not make them worse. Yeah,
exactly.
Here's the world's most expensive ice cream story of the day.
Okay.
The world's most expensive ice cream costs $6,696 per serving.
Wow.
All right. This is Japanese ice cream. I told Tanner since he's going there, he ought to try to get some of this.
He needs to try this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
see what he can get going there. A Japanese ice cream company assembling some of the world's rarest ingredients to create an ice cream flavor that costs that much money per serving. Guinness World Records announced Japanese brand Celato, not gelato. Celato.
Celato.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not surprised it's Japan. They always do this.
Or it could be pronounced Celato.
Yeah.
Because it's the first four letters of cello, which is pronounced that way.
Isn't it weird, though? It's like, where do you get the most expensive cut of beef? Japan. Where do you go to get a fish that it would kill you if you don't prepare it right? Japan.
Yeah, it's scotch probably, right? Their most expensive bottle of scotch. Yeah, and obviously these things only do it because A, somebody wants to brag about having the world's most expensive ice cream, and B, it gets them into the Guinness Book World Records, so you get some cheap and easy promotion out of it.
Oh, good point, yeah. That is cheap and easy and significant. When people say you hold a record, it's like a big deal.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
The pricey treats ingredient include a rare white truffle grown in Alba, Italy, and costs that much money. I keep repeating the number, $6,905 per pound. It also includes Parmigiano Reggiano. Uh-huh. And sake lees, whatever the hell those are. I don't know.
Sake.
Oh, that's not sake?
Yeah, it's not sake. Oh, I'll have a glass of your finest sake, please.
I knew it was Japan, and I didn't even look at it right. Damn it. Celato developed the flavor with Tadayoshi Yamada, the head of chef at the Osaka restaurant. The company said it sought to combine European and Japanese flavors into something unique. It took us over 1.5 years to develop with a lot of trials and errors to get the taste right. Achieving the Guinness World Record title made the effort all worth it. See, there they are getting their free their free bump.
Their free promotion or free, right.
Publicity. I would eat it. I would try it, but I ain't paying for it.
Forget it. Right.
You know what I could buy for $7,000? A lot of things.
A lot of other things that I won't poop out in 2 minutes.
Yep. Things I need. You know, God,
but there is a place the flavor. So truffle and Parmesan cheese and sake. I don't know what L-E-E-S sake lees. Sake. I know what sake is, but I don't know what sake lees would be.
L-E-E-S,
just a sake flavor added as a base or something.
Never heard of it.
But there's a place in Disney. Was it downtown Disney called Salt and Straw? I don't know if they have them other places, but I know that they're in the two American Disney properties in their little, don't have to go into the amusement park locations. And they make the coolest ice cream flavors. And the last time I went there, I had one that was goat cheese and bacon or something. Mm. And it was so good.
That sounds crazy.
It's crazy, but it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You wouldn't think it would be that good. Oh, Portland is Red Link says they start in Portland, or Jacob says they start in Portland.
Yeah, there's a bunch in Oregon. They got L.A., Orange County, Disney, San Diego, North California, Seattle, Miami.
Oh, tons of places. Okay, good.
Las Vegas. I didn't know they had one there.
What? They have one in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Let me tell you when. Oh, it's a coming soon. Hold on. No. It's there. Oh. They just don't have any pictures. Well, anyway, it says 6815 Tom Rodriguez Street, Suite 120. I don't know where that is.
Oh, yeah, on Tom Rodriguez Street.
Yeah, yes. You know, the famous Tom Rodriguez Street in Vegas. Yeah.
I believe it's pronounced Rodriguez.
I want to know where that. I would go there. I'm not even supposed to eat that stuff, and I would go there.
Yeah, this still their site still says coming soon for that one. But where are their flavors right now? They're pistachio with saffron and rose water, jasmine milk tea, almond stracciatella, where is it? Honey lavender, cinnamon snickerdoodle. Oh, they do have the Arbequina olive oil, so they have their own olive oil deal. Oh, there it is. Pear and blue cheese. That's what it is. Not
pear and blue cheese.
Pear and blue cheese. I will go there and I will sample any other flavor that you want to put in front of me, but I will order the freaking pear and blue cheese ice cream. It is so freaking good.
Wow, I don't even know what to say about that. I'd have to try it. I'd have to try it.
Nationwide delivery. I could order a pint and have it sent to me. How much would this cost? $5 for $75. So 5 pints for $75.
You know what? That's not terrible.
That is not terrible at all. So what is that? 15?
I mean, it's a premium, but right? You know what you're getting, right?
$15 a pint. That's pretty expensive.
I mean, it's expensive for ice cream, yes, but when you're talking about like specialized, can't get it anywhere else sort of thing, it's not bad.
Exactly.
It could be a lot worse. That could be a $7,000 ice cream in China or Japan.
Well, that's true. Rhubarb crumble with toasted anise. I realize that I'm just handing you...
No, I didn't think of anything. No toasted nothing. I'm all good. Nothing. Nothing came to mind. I don't even know what an anise is.
Salty donut guava cheese.
Sure. That sounds terrible.
It's my stripper name was the salty donut.
Wow. You should have never quit working that pole. You gotta keep working.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's why they fired me. Anyway.
Well, watch for that. We don't know the dates in Vegas. I guess it is still. I saw a picture where the it still says coming soon. You saw that. You read that as well. Yeah. That's a bummer.
If it's open before June 15th, I'm going.
You should
go. Going.
You should go. Why wouldn't it be? It should be open by now. Come on now, guys.
I would think,
Hurry up before it gets too hot. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to do some App Slappy. Steven's out. He's got some flooding in the old basement. It's not a euphemism. He's actually got a basement with flooding in it. So he had the last minute back out today. But we are going to do an App Slappy today, and I can't wait to tell you what I played.
Yeah,
so
cool.
That's all coming up. Brian, why don't you play a song, though, because we need that.
Okay, I'll do that. This is a band called The Ironsides. They're a psych soul band from, where are they from? Doesn't say, but here's what's cool. Number one, it's instrumental, and it's this very cool, like, oh, I could hear this as at the beginning of a Tarantino film kind of thing. Really, really cool kind of retro sounding instrumental stuff. They have a brand new album just came out last Friday called Changing Light via Coal Mine Records. This is the first single from the album. It's called Violet Vanished. Here are The Ironsides.
Thank you. Can anybody here notice some things that might make them more likely to be picked on than other people?
Did he just say that Rick is his boo?
This is the Morning Stream. This house, it knows we're here.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Who is that again? That sounded great.
Yeah. That was a band called The Ironsides from their brand new album called Changing Light. That is a song called Violet Vanished.
Fantastic.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sounds really good. Okay. Folks, sit back, relax. Time for this.
App Slappy.
Stephanie, if you haven't already left the room, this would be the time to go. we're going to talk about apps and specifically some games on mobile devices. We like to do this once in a while when we got a little slot to put it in, so that's what we're doing. And I'm going to start today with my pick. For the week. Now, this is a game that is not part of a service. It is not free to play. It is just buy it and play it kind of game.
Mm, gotcha. So no, not freemium, not microtransaction-y, but you do pay for it initially.
You just pay for the game, and it's $8. And some of you may say, well, I ain't paying that for no mobile game. I understand why you would say that that's a high price to pay. I get it, right? Most mobile games aren't going to be $8. But the reason this is $8 is because it is a great, a highly premium game to play. It is very much worth it, and it's also cheaper than any other version of it, which you can also get on PCs and consoles. I think it's even on Game Pass right now. So if you have Game Pass on your Xbox, you're already kind of set. You can just play this there. But if you want to play it on the road, which is definitely what I wanted to do, I picked up a game called Monster Train. And some of you PC gamers are going to go, oh, yeah, of course, Monster Train. I know that game. It's very popular on Steam. But it came to iOS and Android in really great shape. Plays extremely well on that device. So for those unfamiliar with the series or with the game itself, Monster Train is a very successful kind of game that's a lot like Slay the Spire, another very successful game in this genre. But it's, you know, these deck builders, roguelikes where you're sort of, you know, working your way through battles and random encounters and that sort of thing, getting new cards, upgrading those cards as you go, and trying to strategize your way to victory. What makes Monster Train different, though, is you are on a train. And in the train, there are levels to the train. And so you have this strategic element of like, all right, well, some of these cards are actual like dudes with hit points and damage points, and I can place the card and that will put them where I want them inside of these levels. And then I can stack them. I can have like up to four dudes in that stack, and they can defend against the stuff that's coming from the other side, which are the monsters. And they do that in waves until there's a boss, and then you fight the boss. And then if you win, you move on and you keep going. If you lose, you go out and spend some points on cool stuff and some unlocks, and then you go back and try it again. You're a little more powerful this time, that sort of thing. And there is something about this game that just hooks me forever when I start playing it. It's hard for me to put this down. Would recommend it to anyone who's played a deck builder card game and enjoyed them even remotely. This is 100% up your alley. I personally think it's the best of its class. I would take it over Slay the Spire, which I know is a sacrosanct thing to say for a lot of people, but I really think it's a better game. And the interface on iPad or phone is just super simple. You don't need to, you know, it's dragging cards, not crazy.
Yeah.
But it's really great on console with controller and stuff. Even, you know, they just really thought out how people might be playing their game on different platforms, and it shows. I find it extremely fun. And
boy, did they like really like the style of Hearthstone's art.
You know, there's cards. A bit. Yeah, there's some of it's like that. The cards themselves, less so, but some of the interface elements for sure. You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that. It plays nothing like Hearthstone, though, like in terms of gameplay.
Sure, so, since it's you've got a train that you're ascending and stuff.
Yeah, all that. Plus the cards themselves, you're not really collecting a deck so much as you are. I don't know how to explain it. It's like Slay the Spire the same way. You're each game you're kind of starting from scratch, kind of. Gotcha. And then you build out from there. I think it's just a really fun loop, and I think it's just really creative, and it's just a great game. They have a new game coming out this year that I'm really looking forward to. It's got nothing to do with cards, but they're just a cool company to keep an eye on. Anyway, it's $8. It's on mobile platforms. It's the perfect time killer in a car or something while someone else is driving, because Kim won't let me drive, so that's me. I did that like for 5 hours coming home just playing this thing.
Oh, God. I bet she was thrilled. Yeah,
she didn't care.
Thanks for the conversation, Scott.
She's just cranking her techno and rocking and rolling. And we had Van for a lot of it, so he was keeping her entertained. Sure. But anyway, it's good. And I want to thank, and I forgot her name. Someone in Vegas reminded me that they had it, and they said, "Oh yeah, it's on mobile." I said, "What? No way!" And I didn't know.
Greg for Walkman, maybe, because I know he mentioned in chat that he's been playing it and loves it.
I don't think it was Greg. It was no, it was a she. It was a she. Unless Greg's got something to tell me he didn't that I'm not aware about.
I mean, I'm not judging.
Yeah, I can't find her name. Anyway, I meant to give her credit. She knows. She'll be listening. She'll hear this, and then she'll write me, and I'll be embarrassed. It's really good, though. So check it out, Monster Train. And if you don't have, if you don't care for mobile games at all, and you don't want to play it there, it is great on all platforms. You'll pay a little more. I think it's $20, $19.99 or something on Steam, but well worth it.
Yeah, right. $8 is a bargain
it's cheap,
iOS,
right?
For sure,
cheap, cheap.
Yeah.
Tell me what you brought, Brian. What do you got over there?
Sure. So mine is a game that I discovered. I think it got recommended to me, and I'm like, oh, sure, I don't have one of these already and that I like, so why not? It's Solitaire, but it's Solitaire Stories. This is a game by Red Games LLC, Red Games Co. LLC. And for whatever reason, this new version of Solitaire, even though it's pretty much regular Solitaire, has me hooked. And what's got me is the different story modes. It's actually a Solitaire game with a story mode, with a campaign that you go through. And they've got some celebrity involvement. They've got Joel McHale and Jane Lynch and people like that are involved in this. And so you get decks and stories that are based on them.
Do they voice it or something? They like do voiceover?
I wouldn't know because I have stuff muted.
Mm. Okay. Fair enough.
But they definitely have little cartoon versions of them. Who's the other guy who is Ralphio or Jean Ralphio in Parks and Recreation?
Oh yeah, Jean Ralphio.
Schwartzman? Yeah. No.
What's that sounds? He's the voice of some animated thing I like. dang it!
Yeah,
dude.
Wasn't.
It's not Jason Schwartzman. It's
no, exactly. But it's Schwartz.
John.
Ben Schwartz, thank you, Ben McCarrick. Yes, I added a little bit of extra. I added an extra syllable to Schwartz.
Yeah,
feel the Schwartz. Ben Schwartz, thank you. Anyway, here's what I like about it. Number one, beautiful interface. This thing's gorgeous. Great interface. There are weekly challenges that come in. You can kind of play against other people. With most card games like this, you get your choice of card backs and card faces. They've got some really weird ones. Like I'm playing with what kind of looks like a Tim Burton hand-drawn monster style, which is really cool. But then there are other ones that are like based on birds or flowers or whatever. It is a free, like if you got Apple Arcade, it's a free download. I don't know why I'm so hooked with this, but it's just a really fun, like I need a break from Marvel Snap. I'm going to play a couple games of Solitaire, a little quicker get in, play, get out kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, and look at all the I'm looking at the video promo. There's a ton of art styles in here. This is cool.
A ton of different decks and art styles and backgrounds, and it's just a clean, nice, kind of fresh take on Solitaire.
Nothing wrong with occasional Solitaire in your life. Nothing.
No, there really isn't. There's a reason that it's so popular.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not the, one of the most played games in the history of the planet for no reason. You know.
Exactly. Exactly. That's next great. Next time, I'll tell you all about my new fascination with the game Snake.
Snake. Fantastic. Snake. Ah, tell me about Pong. I'd like to hear about Pong.
Pong, great game. Anyway, it's called Solitaire Stories. I was only able to find it on iOS. I couldn't find it on Steam or Windows games or Google Pixel or anything like that. Google Play.
Yeah, I think it's Apple Arcade exclusive at the moment.
It looks like it, yeah.
But that sometimes those are just timed exclusive, so might get that later else.
And it automatically, I know, again, small thing, but if I, like, it works in both portrait and horizontal. It works on the iPad. The graphics are even more gorgeous on the iPad. Again, either orientation. It's a simple thing, being able to have kind of that whichever orientation your iPad is in, but it's just a nice touch to not require you have to play it vertically or horizontally or whatever.
I agree. I like when they go through the extra work to make that stuff work. That's cool.
Me too.
Well, get your Schwartz on. It's out now on Apple Arcade. And those are our games, Monster Train and Solitaire Stories. A quick shout out to our old pal, Amy, a.k.a. Red Fraggle. She wanted us to let everybody know that the Tadpool Southeast 2023 meetup is not only happening, but they have signups going on. Please go check this out at signupgenius.com. Oh, this is a huge, weird URL. This isn't going to work. I'll put it in the chat. It's a big, long one. But anyway.
Oh, no, she does. She has a tiny tinyurl.com/SETadpool. So it's capital S, capital E, and then capital T in Tadpool. Because I think tiny URL is.
I don't remember which
is,
one.
Is case sensitive?
I know CC is. I don't know if. This may not be, but
maybe tinyurl is the one that's not.
Yeah, but do it to be safe. Why not? tinyurl.com/SET. That's all in caps, and then ADPOOL. So that's set a tadpole, basically. anyway, that's happening now. Go sign up if you're able to go. If you live in that part, that quadrant of the country, and check it out. The plan right now is August 25th through the 27th. Happens I'll be in. I'll be in Moab for my anniversary, so I'm not going to be there. I was kind of hoping they were going to do a different day. But anyway, that should be fun. It was great last year. Everybody had a great time. They're going to, you know, they got details on here about the Airbnb they're going to do and all that. So,
yeah.
And, anyway, go check it out.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Tina and I can join. So I'm going to talk to her and see if we can nail it down. But September and Amy and Chuck.
Yeah.
And, some other people.
All the good peeps from the Southeast.
All of the good peeps.
Yeah, I heard rumor Dr. Nikki might go.
Yes, that she might pop in. Yeah, if work allows, for sure. She's
down there in Alabama doing her Bama life. All right, so there's that. Also, one quick thing from a listener. This is a text, 801-471-0462. This is from, let's see, who is this from? It doesn't say. Oh, it's Scott. It's from a guy named Scott. It's not me.
But not you. Okay.
That's what threw me off. Says, good morning, Sideshow and Bob. Yesterday, Scott asked if Tina's cat would eat Tina if her and Brian died. When I was a kid, we had a litter of stray cats in our backyard. One of the kittens had died, and the mama cat did not let it go to waste. She started eating the dead kitten. It was horrifying to see as a kid. Love the show, though, Scott. So really, there's no lesson here. It's just, it's gross. You know?
Yeah, it's gross. I mean, you probably had hamsters that would eat other hamsters.
Oh, 100%.
Even if they weren't dead. Yeah.
100%. My gerbil problems were babies. Far and wide. Yeah. They were known for that. But yeah, in the animal kingdom, you're going to see that a lot. I don't think, you know, obviously, I guess. Let's say. here you go. Brian, you are with a 2-year-old toddler.
Okay.
For some reason, the apocalypse.
Not with my restraining order, but please continue.
You and this kid, this baby, were somehow separated from everybody else, but you were in an elevator shaft, let's say, and you'll never get out of there.
Sure.
But you were saved from the apocalypse that killed everybody outside.
Okay.
You're not going to eat the baby.
I'm not going to eat the baby.
No, but the baby might eat you.
the 2-year-old toddler might eat me. Well, I mean, you know. If we're starving, I'd cut off my arm and cook it on the fires of the elevator shaft.
Right. Which exists because we saw Hollow Man. We know what's up in there. And there's even that, sure, that magic release button that you just push with your foot and the whole elevator will just go down. That's something we learned from Hollow Man as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Maybe you don't want to know. Goes, you know, right. You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
I mean, if we're not, you know, if we're never going to get out of there, like you said, we're just going to starve anyway. Let's just starve.
I guess just starve. Or I guess what I'm wondering is
why prolong the inevitable?
Because if you starved first, would some instincts in a 2-year-old kick in where they were like, I got to live. No. I got to eat Brian's fleshy.
I don't see a 2-year-old saying, well, he's dead. Might as well eat him.
Well, I hope you're never in that situation. That's
so great. Yes.
All right. Finally. Oh, I got to tell you a quick story that happened in Vegas that I forgot to tell you. Yeah. This is great. We go to a Smith's grocery store. It's near the airport, end of the strip down there, as you go toward the airport. And we were just getting some stuff for the stay.
Sure.
And Kim's like, I got to get grapes. I said, no problem. I'm going to go run to the can. I'm going to go use the men's. Okay. She said, okay, cool. So I went in there. By the way, disgusting bathroom, Smith's. What the hell are you doing? It was so gross. Really gross. I don't know why it was bad, so bad. But anyways, went in there, and they got toilet stalls in the men's bathroom, right? And then two urinals.
Stalls.
And when I go in there, I'm the only one. When I get in there, I'm the only person. Some guy was washing his hands and leaving. He left. I go into the stall. I go to the first one, and as usual when this happens, the first stall is a nightmare. It's like a big floaty poo with pee everywhere. Like someone's had a bad time in there. I'm like, well, I'm not going in there. So I went to the one next to it, and it was relatively clean. So I went in there, and I'm sitting in there, and I hear old man, because I saw him on the way into the store. I know it was the same guy because he had the same work boots on. But this guy comes shuffling in real slow, and his feet are literally shuffling like as he's walking in. Okay. And he opens up the door to the first one and goes, oh, like that. Yeah. Just makes a noise. Shuts
that.
That's
the first one with the noise. Yep. The first one with the mess in it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And then this is what he does. He comes over to my door, isn't sure if it's open. So he does a little jiggle, like a little to see if it'll open. Doesn't.
Yeah.
Then he spends 30 seconds or so just kind of trying to look through the crack, like doing this.
There's a little crack to see if there's a dude in there. Yep.
And he's looking toward my feet and then up in the crack again. And I think he finally spotted me and he goes, God damn it. And he just walks out. Just shuffled out the other direction. It made me laugh really hard at the time. So anyway.
Oh, jeez.
It was great. So old man, if you hear this show, I apologize. Let's get some. Okay. So I did a thing. We haven't shouted out some patrons in a while. So I went and found all of our May joins. Like today's the 22nd. So from May 1st till now, these are the people who have joined us here on our Patreon. And I just wanted to thank them out loud for it. Here they are. Rolando Sanchez, Ryan Norda, Fatso Katso.
Love it.
Yep. Samantha Jane. Hey, look at that. We know
her.
Robert Hall, Misplaced Geek, Cal L, Biff Smith. I hope that's a real name. That's amazing. Uh-huh. Dan Shaddix, Wes, Crystal, Steven Edsel, Jibba Jabba. That's cool. Tony Mazes. Not sure which. Bika. Probably Bika because there's two C's. Bika. Sean Francis and Elvish Link all joined us here on the program where they benefit. Thank you guys so much. You guys benefit directly by never having commercials. You get pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend. We're doing a play date this weekend.
Yeah.
Art in the mail, other great monthly benefits. You just got to go read about them at patreon.com/TMS. All right, Brian, we can go now.
Okay.
But we can't go now until we have a go song.
Oh, God, I'm glad you said something because I was almost out the door. But, you kept me from leaving. Whew. So good. Thank you. Matthew Bickert, who also goes by Matherin B in the chat room, Matthew Bickert, says, this song goes out to my wife, Kathy, for our 12-year wedding anniversary. My initial choice for our first song was Still Alive by Jonathan Colton, but that was shot down. So instead, our song was Smile by Uncle Cracker. Brian, if you could play a cover of Smile, it would mean a lot. Love the show, though. Matt.
Aw, nice.
Oh, how sweet.
Thanks, Matt.
I was amazed to find that there are no, like, if you go to secondhandsongs.com, there are no covers of Smile by Uncle Cracker, which surprised me because that was a big hit. And it was, in my opinion, a better song than that Follow Me thing. I'm not a big fan of Uncle Cracker, but at least, you know, I can kind of like that Smile song.
Sure.
But it definitely surprised me that nobody's covered it. So I'm going with your first choice, which was the Still Alive song by Jonathan Coulton. Hopefully, Kathy will understand why I've made this choice, and hopefully she enjoys this version of the song. This is by the Overclocked Plaid Muffins from their 2011 album, Works in Progress. Here's their cover of Jonathan Coulton's Delicious and Moist, Still Alive.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science, we do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive.
What you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Intellectual turd.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.